When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. Steelers breaking off here into, is this a special team session here?
Looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, eventually when they... This is a different practice.
It's a very different practice.
Very laid back.
Jacob and I were talking about it, you know, in between segments. It's like, not quite sure what they're doing with the beanies on their helmets. I mean, who's giving who a look? More and more I'm digesting this. No seven shots. Tempo's not real crazy. I mean, yeah. It's pretty laid back. And you know,
scaling things back a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like a work day.
And I think you might be right, though. I mean, the more I'm trying to read the tea leaves here, I think they might be game planning for Jacksonville a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. You know, which takes me into, Todd McShay, Matt.
This is interesting.
His top position rankings and top 50. Is it 50? What do you have here? It's a bunch of players here. Top 200.
Top 200, but I think he writes up 50 of them.
Yeah. So I just thought we'd take a look here at some of the position groups that we think the Steelers might be looking at next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would focus on O-line more than anything. I mean, I'm not sure what position on the O-line, but I'm guessing there's going to be a need there somewhere. I hear a lot of people talk about defensive tackle, D-line, and I get that. I'd love to see a Cam replacement. But if you bring back Ogunjobi, and I mean – Maybe Alualu retires or Cam starts to show his age. I mean, that would make some sense. I think corner's a position that would make some sense if you can get a true number one-ish type guy. Maybe a linebacker next to Jack, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you look at McShay's rankings here, he has two offensive tackles rated very highly.
Does he? I haven't looked at it yet.
And then there's a big drop-off.
Okay.
So he has Paris Johnson Jr.
The Ohio State guy.
And Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern.
They couldn't be any more different.
They get a 90 and an 89 grade. And then the next guy down, Jalen Duncan out of Maryland, is a 72. He's third.
Wow.
That's a pretty big drop-off.
I know it's not considered a great tackle draft. And even the two dudes you mentioned, Northwestern and Ohio State, I don't think they're in, like, top five consideration at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're...
Which might be good for the Steelers.
Right. It could be. But there's always such a need. Those guys get pushed up like crazy. I think there's a lot of day two and developmental types. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. The Northwestern guy, he's getting obvious comparisons to Slater.
Yeah.
Because he's Northwestern and he's super smart and he's also only 6'4". He's not 6'6". It's probably why he ended up at Northwestern and not Ohio State. But he's extremely technically sound, rarely gets beat, does some of his best work against the best pass rushers in the Big Ten. I think he did well against, like, Hutchinson, where Paris Johnson from Ohio State was, like, the top O-line recruit in the country, all the tools. But he was guard last year because they had too many good tackles.
Right.
99% of the schools had to play tackle, but he was a guard last year. So he has to show the world that he can play tackle.
At guard, the top guard is Laden Robinson of Texas A&M. His grade is an 80. That's almost more of a second-round grade.
Wow. And I think he has a lot of similarities to his former teammate, Green, you know, another wide-body. A&M must recruit like crazy. They're pumping out kids.
They really
the
are. We had
their
conversation today. We were waiting around for players to come up from the walkthrough, and we were talking about some of the programs. and the portal, the transfer portal, and things of that nature.
Yeah, somebody said I don't understand about, it real well.
Somebody said something about USC having like 45 players they acquired this year through the portal. Like
45.
You have to.
I mean, we know
to clear those guys out to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like somebody said, well, yeah, SC should be good every year.
They should be good every year.
And they're not. And somebody said, yeah, well, Texas is kind of the same way. You know, Texas mm-hmm. should be good every year. Like, why are they not recruiting Texas very well?
I said, well, but then they lose them.
But Texas A&M is.
Texas A&M's turning
really
into a powerhouse.
Turned into a powerhouse.
Right. They're pumping out first rounders all over the place lately.
Yeah.
Kind of bothers me just because I kind of feel like recruiting's dying. You know, like,
yeah.
Why would I spend all this time, money, travel time, visiting all these 16, 17-year-old kids, building relationships with high school coaches, and then he comes to my, you know, we get him, and he's great, and everything works out well, and then USC calls and says, we'll give you money, why don't you transfer here? I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah,
you know,
fantastic.
Why'd I bother even doing any of that?
Well, I think Mike Pursuit was talking about that, and he said that it looks like, this is, why, I guess, what they do it now at Michigan State,
mm-hmm.
is the coach there has said that they're going to use recruiting high school kids much like the draft. Whereas
the draft and develop type.
Yeah, draft and develop, whereas the transfer portal is like free agency.
It makes some sense.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a million years ago, but occasionally we'd go JC shopping. You know, like, we need a starting
now you don't
guard
have to do that
this year. Right. We need a starting guard this year. We think our young guard is a year away. We need a stopgap guy, kind of like free agency. But now you can just go steal someone from Alabama A&M. And you got way better tape, and you know, you also can go back to their recruiting profile. I mean, watching JC tape to decide if you wanted a player was not great. Not to mention 9 out of 10 of those guys that end up in JC, a junior college, is because they did something wrong, either grades
right, yeah.
or off the field or whatever. So they had a red flag to get there. You know, now I'm sure Jordan Addison didn't have any red flags. He just wanted them, so you went to go and steal them from the Panthers, you know?
A couple of good center prospects. John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about him.
Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. Both of those, Schmitz has an 86 grade.
Good center name.
Pran has an 83 grade. So,
if you told me right now the Steelers got one of the top two or three centers in this draft in the second round, I think I'd take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the long-term center's on the team right now.
No, I don't believe it is either.
Yeah, and that'd be great to have a guy there. You know, again, when we got so spoiled for my whole lifetime with the center play here, that even if Cole was a success this year, he's not going to be a dude.
That's kind of what we saw when post Jeff Harding's and pre Marquise Pouncey,
like Mahan and that
area.
There was a small stretch there.
Yeah, so they had a couple years there where they were kind of okay. Let's plug this veteran guy in there. And then they said, you know what, let's quit messing around with this.
First round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen again this year.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're used
and
to having a star
there.
He's your
guy for the next 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, and he's great. You know, boom. So I think that's very much in play. It would be a center in round one or two. I said two because there's not always one that's worthy of, you know, 20th pick, 15th pick, whatever.
Yeah. As we mentioned, that defensive tackle group, Jalen Carter from Georgia. Number one.
You'd have to have a really bad year.
He's a 95 grade. 95.
I was actually thinking about that. Like, what if disaster strikes this year and the Steelers end up with the second, fifth, you know, some really early pick that is hard to even wrap our head around because it never happens? I'd have a hard time believing they would be a quarterback.
Yeah, not going to be that.
Maybe you take Will Anderson out of Bama. But you better pick, like, in the top two to get him. Five's not going to get it done.
You might have to pick top three to get Jalen Carter.
I was going to say, Carter's not much different, but he would be maybe, because there doesn't seem like there's a tackle. There's not a Sewell-type guy or Orlando Pace. So where would you go with that pick if you're picking 4, 5, 6? I think Carter's probably as good a name as any. And those Georgia folks will tell you, he was our best defensive player last year.
Yeah,
and you know what that defense was like.
There's
you know?
Some other guys there that are surefire first-round picks as well. Brian Breesy from Clemson.
He's a big guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
One interesting one is the guy from Baylor. He's kind of the Vita Vea, Jordan Davis type.
Yeah, Ika.
Yeah. Massive 350 can run.
Saiki. You also have, there's a Pitt kid, like Elijah Cansey, comes in there with an 85. He actually is ahead of the Baylor kid.
That's the highest I've seen the Pitt kid. And Charlie Partridge does
a
tremendous
job
with D linemen there and just keeps cycling through them and putting them in the NFL. And they have 4 or 5 defensive players I think are going to be pretty high picks. That's the earliest I've seen any of them ranked, though.
Yeah, those outside linebackers you mentioned. Will Anderson is a 97 grade.
I think he's like a Miles like Garrett.
The perfect,
grade. Yeah,
perfect,
right.
Prospect.
Like, you have to be, like Coach told Chase Young, like, you have to be really bad to get a guy like you. I hope we're never as bad to draft someone as good as you.
And then you got Nolan Smith out of Georgia. Georgia's defense apparently going to be really good this year.
Clemson, too. Clemson and Georgia are and Bama. I mean, big shocker there. You know, I mean, like, Bama and Georgia always are, but Clemson's back as well defensively. Their front seven.
Army's got a guy this year.
Really interesting dude. He's like 6'7", obviously dominant at that level. I think he's a little overaged, you know, all the intangibles you would assume from an Army guy. I don't know if he's a pure 4-3 type end or if he would fit here, but you know they would love his character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then there's the younger Ojulari at LSU, B.J. Ojulari.
Mm-hmm. Similar to his brother.
Yeah, he has a high grade there as well. So there's some interesting guys there.
Mm-hmm.
But inside,
any chance it'd be an edge in the first round?
Maybe.
I mean, you don't turn your back on a great pass rusher.
No, never.
And I'm not implying Highsmith's going to have a terrible year, but his contract's up soon.
He's heading into year three.
You've got a lot invested in Watt. You know, you might want to space those guys out, kind of like the Pickens-Deontay thing.
An inside backer, you got Noah Sewell from Oregon.
It's Penny's brother. He's a wrecking machine,
Henry Tutu from Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to come out this year. He's more of the 215, 220-pound guy, I think. Is that what, did he have him listed there?
They don't have weights.
Okay. I think he's more of the run-and-hit speed dude.
It's cornerback, Keely Ringo from Georgia.
This looks like someone just walked over your grave.
Cam Smith from South Carolina. Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State.
They might know a thing or two about him.
And Tyreek Stevenson out of Miami, Florida.
So and as you might imagine, Joey's son is a very big, physical
corner.
Beat-you-up type corner that I'm sure the Steelers will have a lot of knowledge and probably will like him quite a bit. Oh, picked off.
Robert Spillane getting the pick on Mitch Trubisky there. Just kind of
didn't see him. Blind spot.
Just didn't see him, and Spillane stepped right into the lane.
Yeah.
Dropping into
that was a nice pick by Spillane, too. I mean, that ball came out hot, and he adjusted quick. That would have been a pick six, probably.
Yeah. And Spillane is out there with Bush right now. So.
Mm-hmm. And you may know, too, him and Bush are still
rotating
to some degree. Yeah. It's not Bush's job, at least by practice habits.
Yeah. Well, keep pushing him here. Let's see if this is that was the first play of this team drill. So, let's see if how Mitch Trubisky bounces back here. Takes the snap, drops back, throws the quick out there
quick
to
out.
George Pickens, and that's a completion.
Nicely done.
That's stealing.
Yeah, it is. And that corner probably makes the play and drives him out of bounds, but you pick up what 8 yards or something like that.
Yeah,
nothing to it.
It's an easy eight in today's NFL.
I feel like I'm always picking on Ben, but. I'm sure I could find this information somewhere. Just old school out routes. You know, there wasn't many of them last year.
No.
I mean, that's probably the hardest. That and the slant are probably the two hardest to defend. Because, I mean, you think the guys that take you deep, he breaks it off and the ball's already there. If they could, convert a much higher percentage of those. That's a lot of yardage over the course of a year. Nice throw.
That's a nice throw there right down the seam.
Yeah. I mean, even a pass like that is right down the seam.
15 yards.
Somewhat vertical route from your tight end, and Muth can run those all day long.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the one that really benefits this year, I think.
Could be,
You know, that per-catch average last year was like 8.7.
I bet it's around like 11.
It's going to be 11 or 12 this
year. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, he can run, and he's going to stretch the field. And
so even if he catches the same number of passes as he did last year, so if it's 60 passes, it's going to be 60 passes for 750, 800 yards.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And I think after the catch will be a big thing with him too.
That's one thing I talked to Alfredo Roberts about, and he said, hey, we want him, like, running through secondaries. And
Yeah, right.
You know, because if you see him –
he's a handful,
His quads are massive.
And
they're not quite Najee's quads, but they're pretty big.
No, right. And he can run, and he's physical. He was really good after the catch at Penn State, too. You know, and so.
And that's what I think, when he compares Freiermuth to George Kittle, that's what he's talking about there.
Right.
Kittle's a monster in the open field.
I think he's the best after the catch tight end in the league.
He does it different than Kelsey.
He does.
Kelsey's kind of trying to weave through guys.
He's more of a slasher.
Kittle's running guys over.
Right. I think Kittle accelerates with more power, where Kelsey often benefits from the ball being right on him and then this keeps slashing through everybody.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it too. But Kittle will definitely run it. If it's a corner coming to tackle him, he's going to run him over and not around him.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. So, another.
But it could be a good year for Muth for sure.
A lot of rollouts from Kenny Pickett in these drills. Like, yep. A lot of design, get him out on the edge with just, okay, one read here. You're just reading, or maybe two reads, I guess. You get the underneath mm-hmm. pattern and the over.
If this one's there, that one's not there, then otherwise then it's probably improv it. Or yeah. run it or, you know, right. And I how many quarterback rushing yards will the Steelers end up with at the end of the year? Because I almost don't think it matters if it's Pickett or Trubisky being the starter. Yeah, it'll probably be about the same per game.
I see at least 300.
I mean, about 20 per game is kind of what I was sitting
there
thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you get 17 games, so, you know, 300 right. is just a little bit. It's right around that number.
And what's that, like 295 more than last year? 299
had,
more than
last
year?
I think they had 55 last year. But Mason
oh, they were Rudolph, though, right?
Mason Rudolph had 51 of them. Yeah.
So even just, I know stats don't necessarily matter at the end of the day, you know, but if they could add 200 to 300 more rushing yards than they had last year just from the quarterback position, when you look at, you know, who are the rushing leaders in the league, team by team by team, they're going to go up.
Yeah.
you know.
No, I would think so as well. Should be making a much more dangerous offense. And, again, if the quarterbacks pick you up two extra first downs a game.
That's massive.
Their legs.
Right.
That's huge.
It's also 3 minutes of time of possession that your defense isn't out there. You know, I mean, you hope they don't make 3 first down mistakes that Ben didn't, you know, right. and, you know, negative things. But, you know, so I do think the ability of the movement from the quarterback will help the O-line tremendously, and it'll just help the offense tremendously.
Yeah.
There'll be key plays every game where they pick up a first down that they wouldn't have before.
You're listening to ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio, our ongoing live coverage here from Steelers training camp practice at St. Vincent College. Kenny Pickett in there now, just had a nice pass.
Yeah, he did.
About a 12-yard out to who was it?
I don't remember either.
It was 89.
Yeah.
Gunnar Olszewski again.
That's Boy, nice Sims looks quick,
there.
Too.
Yeah, by Steven Sims. Not very big, but he's slippery. Real slippery.
It sometimes amazes me how small he looks out there. But, boy, is he quick, and other than Austin, plays at a different speed than a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, his traits are very obvious. It's just you got to figure out, are those traits for you or are they for somebody else, you know?
Yeah. They've got some interesting options there at the mm-hmm. wide receiver position, to be sure. Yep.
And if Claypool's your slot, it makes me think that Sims isn't the type of slot you want as much. And plus Gunner's in the mix, too, and you know he's going to make the team. Austin's going to make the team.
Let's see what Boykin does here at the bottom of the
And he's the total opposite. I mean, it amazes me how big he is every time I see him. He got press coverage quick, though.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph in there now. Looks like it's very scheme-centric here.
Scripted.
Yeah.
Right.
They're showing
the cards.
Showing the cards
right,
to the defense.
Give me this defense. Yeah. We went a lot of heavy dose of cover two or whatever.
This looks like it's a
Does this feel like a Wednesday practice to you?
It's hard to tell if it's a 3-4 defense or a 4-3 defense because
Well, if they're a nickel, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's also, you know, the ends are, you know, they're edge guys. They're either mm-hmm. linebackers or they're 4-3 ends. You don't know.
I am interested to watch Walker, the first overall pick, because he lines up all over the line of scrimmage for them. Mostly he'll be a stand-up edge guy, but, I mean, he's going to present problems. It'll be fun to watch him, and it'll challenge these tackles.
It's a nice little cut there by Hayward.
It was. I mean, I know he's a tight end. He's just such a different style, and a lot of it's because of that quickness and route-running ability.
Yeah. They Alfredo Roberts out there coaching him up after each catch, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
He does a nice job with those guys.
No, he does. He does. He's very impressive. I think they love Hayward, by the way.
They do. I talked to Alfredo about him last week. His eyes just lit up.
I mean, he's always on the field. I mean, they're always giving him something new to do, and he seems like he's just taking it and running with it. He's in Alfredo's ear.
Yeah.
Like, don't stop coaching me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure Big Brother was a good influence, too. Go make a play.
Nice ball. Yeah. Nice ball there by Mason Rudolph right down the seam.
That's White, right? Is that 15?
Yeah, that's Cody White, yep.
He adjusted the ball well, too.
Yeah.
But that was a really nice ball. Deep ball, what was it, 40, 50 yards on the field, right down the middle of the road?
Rudolph throws a nice deep ball.
He does.
Very catchable.
Really did at Oklahoma State, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where he excelled. And he just didn't get to see enough of that the last, you know, when he played.
No.
I really think they really had him under wraps in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in 19,
yeah. We don't, you know, just get the ball out. We don't want you running. We don't want you doing anything. Just
we have a great defense. Yeah. You know, yeah. Just don't screw it up.
Don't make a mistake.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, at that point of the game, you're not worried, or at that point of the development, you're not worried about turning him into some star. It's just, how do we win this game? And that's by not turning it over and staying close and winning 13-9, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, let's take another break. Okay. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We'll be back more live from Steelers training camp right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. Steelers are going through the practice here. I don't want to say they're going through the motions here, but now the offense is working off the card here. So
yeah, they're just giving each other looks. I mean, I think this is pretend we're game planning for a real game day.
To get the young guys up to speed and doing it. I mean, they haven't had to do this yet. So.
You don't want that to be as you prep for week one.
Right.
You at least have a dry run that's as good a time to do it as any. Makes perfect sense to me. It's just not a great one for us to comment on and get play-by-play.
No.
I mean, there's not a ton going on.
I see this a lot during the regular season.
It's similar to that. I don't want to call it a walkthrough, but it's closer to that than full go.
Yeah.
I will say, Rudolph's throwing the ball very well today. I just want people to realize that.
Look,
I know
who's out there now getting some snaps.
Five's out there.
Chris Olatico and getting some walkthrough snaps here.
I like the way he throws it, too. You mentioned that the other day.
Yeah.
There's something to work with there. I don't know that he's going to have an NFL career. I'm not predicting anything, but I'm excited he will be in camp most likely next year. And he does have value during the year as a scout team quarterback because he brings a different skill set that, you know, as a runner. That, I mean, I'm sure he'll be the Lamar guy, you know, the Watson guy,
yeah.
You know.
Do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the level of those guys.
No, he's not as athletic as Lamar, but he's a better runner than probably anyone on the team.
And
he's
better than, like, a lot of teams that will take a wide receiver. And
exactly.
Well, you're not going to throw
and
the football.
And then there's no throwing element to it that's close to being a match.
Just throw a laser.
Like a real effortless thrower.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Matt, I'm just looking here. Mike Tannier wrote a thing here on his walkthrough on Football Outsiders about George Pickens.
Did he?
Yeah. He said, Pittsburgh Steelers rookie wide receiver George Pickens is going to be a problem.
For the opponent.
Yes, for the opponents, not for the Steelers. The Pickens hauled in the corner of the end zone, over the shoulder, toe-tapping teardrop from Mason Rudolph against the Seahawks on Saturday night. He caught two other passes in the Steelers' 32-25 preseason win, won a high degree of difficulty sideline snare. I thought that catch was...
It kind of got overshadowed,
yeah.
But boy, not many people make that play either.
Yeah.
And he makes that every day here.
He said he also did some blocking. The impressive debut comes at the end of what has been touted as a monstrous training camp for the second-round pick from Georgia. George Pickens, he's him, in uppercase H-I-M there. So how on earth did Pickens fall to the second round, you ask? As if such information were not readily available from multiple sources.
Yeah.
He said,
how did DK Metcalf be the last pick in the second round?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Stuff happens.
Right. At that position, there's always a lot.
Yeah.
And we can get – I don't mean to interrupt your article, but
go ahead.
It only takes – I mean, if every team that took a receiver before the Steelers had Pickens as their second-ranked guy – I'm not saying that's the way it went.
Right.
He would still fall, you know, if the right people were there. You know, I mean, so falling in the draft, in quotes, doesn't mean there's always something wrong with you. Sometimes it's just a coincidence that whoever was the first receiver drafted in the second round, that team very well could have been like, Pickens were our guy, coin flip, I don't know, and Pickens lost, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. But he was coming off a knee.
He was definitely that. I think that was a big part of it, coming off the knee. He only, you know, sparingly played last season. And
right.
Even when he did, wasn't uber productive.
Well, he wasn't himself.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that tape is, if you, I'm sure there were some draft, or, you know, people at home that wanting to learn about these guys and went and watched last year's Georgia tape of Pickens. Well, that's nothing like what you're seeing here.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
no, he's,
it makes the scouting part process hard to go back to 18-year-old Pickens to really evaluate him. And then you have to ask yourself, do we know he's going to get back to that? I mean, we don't know it. There's some uncertainty there.
Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, he could, that could certainly be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, coming back from something that.
Mike Tanier does good work. He joined us at the Combine. He's a fun guy to be around. So,
yeah.
It's just another example of the national folks just really figuring out what's going on here. If he's, I'm not saying he's Jamar Chase. You know, I mean, Jamar Chase was a rare rookie. And I think Pickens can be a rare rookie, but maybe not an all-time rare rookie. That trio, I mean, you talk about, everyone talks about the Bengals trio. That's the best receivers in the league now that Chase is here. If Pickens is in that mold, in, you know, a rare type guy, this one's not going to be much different.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd still have Boyd fourth. Of or sixth of all the Bengals or Steelers,
yeah,
you know, and Chase would be one. But if Pickens and Claypool and Deontay are all as good as they possibly could be, there's not going to be many trios in the league better.
Yeah, if you look at that wide receiver draft this year, Drake London went eighth overall to the Falcons.
Yeah,
Garrett Wilson then went 10th to the Jets.
Yeah.
Chris Olave went 11th to the Saints. Jameson Williams 12th to the Lions. Jameson Williams. Kind of in the same situation as
yeah.
George Pickens.
I'll know. I won't lie. I love Jameson
behind
Williams.
Behind in the comeback part
mm-hmm.
of his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This more recent injury.
Yeah. Then you look at Jahan Dotson to the Commanders at 16.
Mm-hmm. It seemed a little rich at the time, too, but receivers were flying off the board.
Treylon Burks to the Titans at 18, and Christian Watson then to the Packers in the second round at 34.
Mm-hmm.
Wandale Robinson. To the Giants.
See, that's the one I think teams will look back and be like, we really took Wandale Robinson over Pickens?
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a good career. Like, I kind of like the player. But, like, when Metcalf, I keep bringing up Metcalf, because just as he's so freaky, I mean, that he was the last pick in the second round, but Andy Isabella went ahead of him. And, you know, Arcega Whiteside, who they just traded for a bag of balls, you know, those guys went ahead of him. And even at the time, you can't tell me that my 15-year-old son would have taken those guys over DK Metcalf. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes just take the stud that doesn't look like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I like Wandale Robinson, but I'll bet my bottom dollar Pickens has a better career than him.
I would think so as well. John Metchie went to the Texans at 44.
And he's coming off an injury.
And like, he's not going to play. He's got the long-term issues now as well.
Right. But even at the time, if you tell me, you know, even on draft day, I'm not revisionist history here, you ask Pickens or Metchie, who has a chance to be a perennial Pro Bowler?
I would have had Pickens.
It's not Metchie.
Yeah, right. Tyquan Thornton was a surprise pick there at 50.
Because the Patriots do anything they want. You know, they don't make a whole lot of sense.
And then Pickens went.
Right.
And the Steelers, this to me says a lot about how much the Steelers like George Pickens. They took George Pickens ahead of Sky Moore.
Yes. I would take Sky Moore ahead of those three we just talked about, ahead of both of them.
I was surprised Sky Moore fell as far as he did.
Right.
But he goes, the next picks after George Pickens, Colts took Alec Pierce, and then the Chiefs took Sky Moore.
See, my hunch is, and we'll never know this answer, but I bet the Steelers are sitting there kind of chuckling to themselves going, oh, Wandale Robinson went. Oh, Thornton went. Who was the other one right in that neighborhood?
John Metchie.
Metchie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they liked all those guys. But I just have a real strong hunch that if you told them before the draft started that in the second round you would end up with Moore, Pierce, or Pickens, they would say thank you.
Absolutely.
And they probably sat there going, yeah, Pickens is our favorite of those, and that much we know is true. But I can live with either of them, so I don't have to trade up. And some of these teams are doing us a favor by drafting good guys, but not the ones we want. You know what I mean? Like, I think all three of those would have made perfect sense here. you and I did 8,000 mock drafts before the draft and would have been very happy with Sky Moore in the second round. I mean, if Pickens would have went in the first, we wouldn't have batted an eye, you know?
Yeah. And Pickens was our guy there, I think, several times. He was available to us and we took him.
Yeah. And you wonder, I hadn't thought about this for a while, but Treylon Burks went 18, and I think he was the fifth receiver off the board. Williams, the both Ohio State guys, six.
He's a sixth guy.
So there were six gone when the Steelers picked.
Yeah.
Dotson was the one I wasn't thinking of. Would they have taken one of those six at 20? And then obviously the whole draft had a much different feel to it. Obviously they were going to take Pickett over Pickens. We know that. But would they have taken Pickett over Dotson, Olave, whomever? Don't know.
Don't know.
But it worked out so well that you wouldn't have been in the Pickens market if you took a Burks at 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then you'd be sitting there in the second round going, boy, I would have rather had Pickett and Pickens than Burks and Willis or Ritter, you know, or whoever you took there. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's obviously still very, very early in this process.
Of course. I mean, I could be 100% wrong.
We've seen one preseason game here, but I have a feeling that if things were redrafted again right now,
I think Pickens goes in the top 10 overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no health issues.
That
red flag's gone.
Yeah, that's gone. It's out the window.
Right. And then you'd have some tape to say, oh, that's the 18-year-old Pickens, but he's bigger and stronger and better. You know? And these way too early, you know, McShay mocks and stuff. Everyone had Pickens going, like, the top five if he would have came out the year before. You know, like, this is the best receiver prospect in the country.
And you see
like,
some stuff,
like Jamar Chase.
You know, things coming out about like Treylon Burks is still playing into the fourth quarter of a game because they're not super happy with him.
Right, conditioning and all this stuff too. And I guess he had, quote, asthma, which I guess he did. I'm not questioning that. But I don't think it's a coincidence. He lost like 6 or 7 pounds from mini camp to training camp. It wasn't because he couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't trade Burks for Pickens.
No.
I mean, no, not a
chance.
Right
now, I wouldn't trade him for any of the guys who were drafted ahead.
None.
Other than maybe Jameson Williams, but we haven't seen him yet.
I would consider Williams, but he's too much of an unknown.
Right.
You know, I'll take the bird in the hand. Right. I mean, I would rather have Pickens in London.
Yeah. He looks like a star.
He looks like a star.
Got a second first-round draft pick.
Yes.
That's what it looks like here. So they got their quarterback, they got their cake, and they get to eat it, too.
Mm-hmm. And if Pickens is the only guy in the whole draft class that hits for you, it's still a good class.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks have a harder time getting over the hump where they're, you know, everyday starter type guys. If it doesn't happen for Pickett and all you get out of this is Pickens and, you know, some other guys who keep on first contract, it's still a good draft.
Yeah, I think it probably comes out a little bit better than that for the Steelers.
Exactly. We'll see. I mean, I'm thinking worst case scenario.
Let's take a quick look here at this draft class and what we've learned thus far about these guys. Obviously, Kenny Pickett, we've talked a ton about. We just got done talking about George Pickens. Where do you see DeMarvin Leal right now in his progress?
I like. I feel like I haven't seen enough.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say because this is practice 18 or whatever, as you said, and we have a preseason game. But the line stuff, I'm kind of having a hard time watching just practice and saying I have a firm analysis on the O-line as it is, the D-line as it is. He flashed, though, in that game, and that's what I expect of him of his whole rookie year, is to be a flash player that might play 10 snaps a game, 12 snaps a game, fresh, exciting, ends up with a handful of sacks maybe.
Yeah.
3 or 4 maybe.
Yeah, I think there's some potential there for that because he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
Like what I've seen of Calvin Austin thus far in this camp.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we didn't get to see him in the game. He was the fourth-round pick. Connor Hayward in the
I have a conspiracy theory on that because I know Austin's not out there practicing, so I'm not saying his injury's made up. But he got hurt at a walkthrough, and I just kind of felt like – maybe the Steelers don't want the rest of the world to see his tape yet.
He's in a walking boot.
I know there's something wrong, but I thought that at the time. And then we came back here Monday or whatever, and he's in a boot. So I'm like, okay. But it just kind of tinfoil hat just kind of came on, like, maybe they don't want the world to see what he is quite yet.
Yeah. We've seen what Connor Hayward looks like. He looks like he's going to be a contributor this year as well.
Pickens aside, he might be the most value considering what you paid for him.
Yeah, six-round pick.
He paid nothing for him.
People were saying, well, they only took him because he's Cam Hayward's little brother.
I'm sure that didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt, but he's showing to be much more than that.
Right, right. And see, the thing about the whole brothers thing or taking the kid from Pitt is, well, we know more about him.
Yeah.
So if Hayward, the young Hayward, was not a good prospect and they know all this stuff about him, they wouldn't have taken him.
Right.
But the fact that they know more than 31 other teams about the player, they probably had a better grade on him. I mean, scouting's all about information. You know,
absolutely.
I think that's why Pickett was so alluring to him. It's like, they know everything about this guy. You know, like, how many players were drafted? 300, something like that? 270, something? I don't know what it is. You can't tell me that there were any more picks made in the draft where the team knew more about the guy they drafted than Hayward and Pickett.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
We have more information than the rest of the league. Let's take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Then in the seventh round, with their first seventh round pick, they took Mark Robinson.
He's still a shot.
He's flashing.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, he's flashes here and there.
I'm excited to talk about Mark Robinson a year from now, next camp.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Chris Oladokun.
I'm excited to talk about him next game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think overall,
I'll take it.
It looks like a pretty decent draft. Now, you could say that.
You may have a long-term starting quarterback in there, too.
Right. which makes it a home run.
Yeah, that's a great class.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Pickens alone, to your point, makes this, okay, this is
it won't be a bad draft.
It's going to be an impactful.
Yeah.
It's going to be an impactful draft one way or the other.
Yeah.
Much like last year, you know, with Harrison Freiermuth and DJ, Dan Moore, and, you know, I know Kendrick Green wasn't great, but he did start 15 games for you.
Only two teams, the Lions and Jets, played more rookie snaps than the Steelers.
Yeah.
And there were some growing pains there, but that stuff's going to pay off.
It should pay off here this year. We're going to take another break.
I don't think they'll be the top of the league this year.
No, I don't believe they will either.
No.
We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. Team going through what's essentially looks, this is what a regular season practice looks like by and large.
Don't get hurt.
You know, well, through, you're working off cards. Oops, somebody forgot the football on that one.
Yeah, center exchange was not good.
Yeah.
Don't know who that was on, but everyone moved and the ball didn't.
Typically, that is on the center.
Usually.
Yeah.
But I wasn't studying
new,
it.
That might be the new guy that they claimed yesterday. So
yeah, maybe.
Went through his first practice here.
Not the best first impression if it's the case.
No, that's going to be tough, though.
That's got to be so tough. Right?
Here's the thing. Okay, so the NFL now has that acclimation period, the heat acclimation period at the beginning of training camp. The teams have to be here for 4 days before they can start actually practicing. They sign guys off the street, and they can now just come right down the hill and start practicing.
They don't need the acclimation.
They don't need that anymore. Right. It used to be they had to have 2 days of acclimation themselves, you know, running around just not in pads. Or anything
right. You're new. You need to get acclimated.
Now it's like you just jump right onto the moving train. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to be out there.
I'm sure that there's some medical research that says that acclimation helps the players, player safety, all that. And I'm not disputing that, but it seems like overkill to me.
A little bit.
You know.
A little bit.
But these guys all want to stay healthy. I mean, I think that's the coach's goal as much as anything. I think – you know, JT Thomas was sitting here talking about Chuck Knoll, as all the old legendary guys do, you know, and he's laughing like, man, if one of us would have went to Chuck for a mental health day or a heat acclimation day, I mean, we'd have been laughed off campus and thrown out, you know, like, and I know that that's ancient history. It's a million years ago.
Yeah.
But I do think that even the coaching world realizes probably our first goal in a 17-game season, this isn't a 12-game season, it's just getting to game one with our best guys, you know? And we'll do more coaching as the season goes on.
Especially in a salary cap era.
Right.
It's not like you can go out and replace these guys.
Right.
Or make a trade easily or anything like that.
And I'm taking nothing away against the Super Steelers. I think it's the best team ever assembled. But they had first-round picks laying around that couldn't get on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, their backups, I'm sure, were better than most teams' backups or a lot of teams' starters, you know, that could have had even great careers.
Yeah,
now they're all wound up. Maybe they're actually going to do something here. Yeah.
It must be some kind of competition period here. Cam Hayward trying to fire up the troops here.
You and I could use it.
Looks like some third down work here. This is very much like a regular season practice. So this is a –
This looks like ones versus ones,
This
right?
is ones versus ones. They do this to basically finish off pretty much every –
This isn't ones versus ones.
No, it is. It's just not – Yeah,
it's Haas and LeGlue and –
But they get this. The skill position players are all the starting skill position players.
I mean, Pickett's run the show. I assume this is 2 minute. Could remember like yesterday, yeah. Pickett and Rudolph were probably running 2 minute.
Do another 2 minute here or not? We'll see. It's a third. They're showing third down on sticks, so it might just be third down work. That's always.
It's hard to tell today.
That's a competition. It really.
It's the one defense. I mean, yeah. Watt's out there. Cam's out there. You're right. The skill dudes are out there.
I had some, during the last break, some fans came over. And how do you know when they're in pads and when they're not going to be in pads? Like, you don't.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I have a pretty good idea, you know, having
I'm sure you have some hunches, yeah.
For three decades, when they're going to be in pads and when they're not. But even I don't know exactly when that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. You do during the season, basically, yeah. How that's going to go. But, I mean, and you know, after the first one after the game probably yeah. won't be in pads,
right.
You know.
But I know, like. Yeah, you know, so they were like, yeah.
But we didn't expect this.
Yeah, it kind of felt like they wasted their time coming out here. Not wasted their time. I said, but this is what a regular season practice looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They're game planning. Pickett held the ball too long there again.
Yeah, he did. Overshot, too.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to throw the football.
I need to side note and remind me because on fantasypoints.com, they've been putting out Greg Cosell's notes every day. And they came out today. All his stuff he saw from the weekend off coach's tape. And there's a clip in there about the Steelers quarterbacks. And he was very, very impressed with Pickett. And his poise, his leadership, all those things. I'm going to make sure I cut and paste that and send it to you. I meant to this morning and I got busy with something else or whatever. But there is something to Pickett about being a gamer. And that's always hard for me in a scouting world because there's no science behind it. There's no logic behind it. Well, some logic, but you know, what he's done on the practice field compared to what he did in that game is it's not night and day because he's getting much, much better on the practice field. But the timing and the getting the ball out and stuff was exceptional in the game. And I started to trust it more and more.
Yeah. There was the one fourth down play that got just completely.
Mm-hmm.
Blown up,
mm-hmm.
and he took a sack there, which you can't do.
Which you can't do, right?
But yeah, by and large, it was a good first showing.
I'm very encouraged by him.
Yeah, we'll see how it looks Saturday in Jacksonville when the Steelers play their second preseason game.
And that third preseason game could be a blast with Pickett if he plays.
Yeah, he's going to play
a heavy percentage.
I would think
of the time.
He starts that game and plays three quarters of
a
it.
A lot of the time, yeah.
If not the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
Just to give him.
Then you really get in the flow, and you get a lot
yeah.
more situations too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing, you know, when you
first and 15, you know, second and 18.
You play these kind of games
you may not get the looks you want.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get.
No.
You know, it may be in a pouring rainstorm. You don't know.
Right.
And then you can't do anything that you wanted to work
on. Like all the stuff we wanted to see, is an incomplete grade.
Out the window.
Yeah. We got Rudolph back here now. These look like twos versus twos, give or take, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even threes.
And he kind of actually held the ball a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
It's also easy to hold the ball in these situations because you know it's not live and no one's going to hit
you. Well, that's one thing
you know,
Mike Tomlin said. You know, somebody said, you know, about the game, and, you know, are you excited to see these guys in these situations? And he's like, yeah, because they haven't seen a live pocket yet. Nobody's going to hit the quarterback in these situations.
No, right, and they know it and everyone knows
yeah.
it. And I can buy a smidge more time, and so why wouldn't I, you know? And guys are open. On 7-on-7, they're not getting beat up through the routes or, you know, all that type of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Practice is great, but it's practice.
It is practice.
And today's kind of definition of that.
Nope, just over.
Missed
a little bit of an overthrow there, but.
He was free, though.
He was free.
White.
15 again.
Yeah.
Andy White getting free again.
He's an uphill climb, but he's someone to root for, and he comes to practice every day and gives it everything he's got. And I think he'll be on the practice squad again.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so.
He also has special team capabilities.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the teammates like him and they
sure
he's been here for a while, and again, his dad's on the scouting.
I say he grew up with it. I mean, yeah. He kind of understands. I think he gets what it is to be a professional.
I think so, and I think that
that's
goes
a big part. Yeah.
As well, you know exactly. All right, I'm on the scout team. I'm going to give you a hell of a look.
Mm-hmm. And that was the second time today that he came free deep downfield.
Yeah. Oop.
It's like, I don't understand why 84's got the red beanie on his hat.
I'm not quite sure either.
When they were doing scout team stuff, I thought, is that Travis Etienne? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Does he mean he's somebody else? But in a drill like this, I mean, I guess they are still putting up cue cards. I mean, they're giving looks for the defense. So maybe he is Travis Etienne. Or, you know, I know with special players, sometimes they'll distinguish
them.
No,
they do that. They'll have jerseys at those
seasons.
They actually have the numbers on them. So
yeah,
exactly
that makes sense, right.
That guy is. In this situation, I'm not sure what that means.
Maybe, no, I don't either.
Maybe they forgot to take it off.
They may have forgot to take it off.
I don't think it's a non-contact thing because he just got contact from Trey Norwood.
Yeah, he did.
That's a nice throw.
Yeah, it's a nice route by Hayward, too.
Yeah, right down the seam. That seam route is really
That's been a good theme of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're thinking about I don't envy you because you got to write some stuff about practice, and there's not a lot to take here, but tight ends over the middle was a little bit of a theme today.
Yeah.
Hitting them in stride, in breaking routes. That was kind of like a real skinny post that Hayward's run. Hayward's run a variety of routes, too.
He's quick, too.
Quick out of his breaks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but now 80's putting the little hat on, so it means something.
It means something, yeah. Is that the hot guy? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But Owolokon's the one taking the snap. I mean, this is a scout team look all day long.
All day long, yeah.
Let's just see him throw the ball, though. I like his delivery. I mean, I'm not saying he throws the ball as well as the other guys, but it's smooth. Yeah,
it's very smooth. And
yeah, kind of an effortless thrower. Just haven't seen him make arm strength throws. We've seen him make like five throws.
Yeah, that's just – you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. They saw something in
him. Oftentimes you see him behind the actual quarterback just going through the
doing the steps and the mental reps. Yeah.
The mental rep of taking the snap, and then he kind of uses the arm motion to see where he would throw the football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been interesting watching him do this.
Right. I mean, it's not easy because you're not going to get a lot of attention. You're not going to get a lot of opportunity. But if you're on this field, you might as well get better.
Absolutely. Matt, we're going to take another break.
Okay.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp. We'll be back with our hour number three right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.